Welcome to Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Tosfos Shiur. Don't forget to click on the Daf option to see today's Tosfos marked using the popular Gemara Markings system, similar to that used for the Daf Gemara. If you are not already familiar with our system, a thorough explanation is available by clicking on the Learn the System option. There is a rather long Tosfos you can see starting at the top. The Gemara had mentioned interrupting the Hallel recitation, and a distinction was made between days that a person says the entire Hallel, it's called Yom Shayochid Gomer Besa Hallel, versus days She'ein Hayochid Gomer Besa Hallel. So now the Tosfos points out Yomim Shayochid Gomer Besa Hallel Lav Davki Yochid. Even though the Lashon of the Gemara was Yochid, the word Yochid, which means an individual, it doesn't mean literally a private or individual, someone davening or saying something on his own, by himself. Elo afilu tzibur kore Yochid. The term Yochid can apply to a community. So you'll ask, if it applies to a community, why are you using this unusual word Yochid? Kevon she'ein kol Yisrael biyachad, kamoshe b'shitas psochem b'yuda b'nisan. Since you don't have all of Israel together as one giant gathering, as was practiced on the 14th of Nisan, when everyone brought their Korban Pesach to the Beis Hamikdash, therefore, in our context, the term Yochid can apply to different communities as well. So that when the Gemara says Yomim Shayochid Yomim Basahala, means days that it's practiced, whether you're dealing with a private person or a community, those are days that they say the entire Hallel. The Lav Dafka Gomer. The use of the term Gomer here, which literally means to complete, is not to be understood, once again, not to be understood literally. The Vadai Kaimalon, we certainly hold the Yomim She'ein Yochid Gomer Es Hallel Ein Chove La'oimro Klal Afilu B'dilug. The Tosfos is addressing the following problem. When you say days that people complete the Hallel, as opposed to those days that he doesn't complete the Hallel, that in and of itself would imply that you're referring to days that he is obligated, though, to say part of the Hallel. So Tosfos says that if you're dealing with days that you are not going to complete the Hallel, the idea of a partial Hallel recitation doesn't exist on an obligatory level at all. And that's what he said just now. Devadai Kaimelon, just reading the last line, Devadai Kaimelon Diyomim She'ein Yochid Gomer Es Hallel, those days that one doesn't say the complete Hallel, Ein Chovel Omer Klal, there is no obligation to say it at all, Afilu V'dilug, even through the skipping of the two paragraphs that we are familiar with. Dehochi Masha Be'erichin, and thusly it appears in Maseches Erichin. The Choshev there it is mentioned Chof Aleph Yoim, 21 days. The Yochid Goimer Bohen Es Hallel. There are 21 days that are listed in which a complete Hallel is recited. Uporich, we ask, Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur Nami Lema, why do you say just 21 days, which doesn't include Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Shouldn't Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur also be days on which you say the Hallel? Mashma, debishar yomim tovim. From the fact that we're suggesting Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as adding to the 21, it would indicate that other days which are not included in the list, for example, kamo Barashi Chadashim, like the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, Pshita Lei, it's obvious, the Ein Loimar, that one isn't expected to say it. Midalo Choshev Yoser Mi Chof Aleph Yom, from the fact that the Mishnah in Erechin doesn't mention any more than 21. Vigam midelo ko'omar, and furthermore, it doesn't say ligmor b'Rosh Hashanah uviyom HaKippurim. It doesn't say in the suggestion regarding Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you see we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Tosfos text. It doesn't say there finish the Hallel or complete Hallel on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The suggestion was just lame all. So Tosfos is pointing out from the fact that it doesn't say ligmor b'Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim, da'oz have mashma de b'shar yomim toivim kamo b'Rosh Chodesh vadai ein gomrim aval kurin, then there would be room to imply that on the other holidays, on the other occasions, like Rosh Chodesh, so one wouldn't complete, but one would say it. Aval ata mashma, but now that the Loshon in the Gemara there was on Rosh Hashanah Kippur, lema, say it, as opposed to finishing it, it's mashma afilu kurin loy, that regarding the other days, there isn't an expectation even to read whatsoever. The fact that we do read on Rosh Chodesh, so Tosfos pointed out before, that was a minig, a custom, and nothing more than that. Something that's not obligatory. The chein mashma perik basru de tainis, and likewise it would appear from the last perik of tainis Rav, and there's a story told there that Rav iklu lebovel, Rav went to Bovel, chazinu dahav koru b'Rosh Chodesh, he saw they were saying the hallel on Rosh Chodesh, sovar laf sukinu, he had in mind to stop them, pirushay sovar shay gomrim oso, he thought they were saying a complete hallel on Rosh Chodesh, which is not one of the days that are mentioned in Erechin to say it whatsoever. The Keva de Choza de Komedalgi de Lugi, when he saw that they were saying it partial, literally they were skipping, in other words, he came and he saw that they were saying Hallel, but noticed that they weren't saying a complete Hallel. Omar Shma Mino, he then concluded, Minag Avoseim Biodehem. Rav concluded, it is their custom. Alma, we see from this, diyomim de'ein gomrin bohen hallel, that on the days that a complete hallel is not recited, ein chova liomro, there is no obligation to say it whatsoever. From a purely legal standpoint or technical standpoint, there's no obligation to say it. Umashonu omer moso, hainu mishu minuk, and the fact that we do have this practice of saying Rosh Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, that's a function of a custom, but not a function of an obligation. Now, just to review the main point that Tosfos is making, he started off with a sort of question where the Gemara featured the days that a person says a complete Hallel, and that would have implied there are days that one is obligated to say Hallel, but not a complete Hallel. So, to that, Tosfos is saying, no. When the Gemara says the days that a person says a complete Hallel, that's not implying that there are days that he's obligated to say a partial Hallel, but rather, the days that he says a complete Hallel, those are dictated by letter of the law, as is mentioned in Maseches Erechin. Those days that one does not say a complete Hallel, that's a function of a custom alone, not something that one is obligated to do. To restate or to say this point over in a different angle, the two phrases in the Gemara are really not balanced. The phrases of Yomim Shayoche Gomer and Yomim She'ein Hayoche Gomer. What do we mean they're not balanced? Meaning they're not both examples of obligations, but rather they're completely different. Yomim shayochid gomer benas hallel, those are days that one is obligated to say the hallel. The yomim she'en hayochid gomer benas hallel, those are days that one is not obligated whatsoever. And the fact that it is practiced to say an incomplete hallel, that's a function of a custom and not function of letter of law. Continuing in the Tosfos, the cost of the Machzor Vitri, Kevon She'eino Ela Minig Be'Alma, the Machzor Vitri was a very early work, relatively speaking, early meaning from the early Rishonim period, assumed to be a Talmud of Rashi. So in the Machzor Vitri, it is stated that since the recitation of the Hallel on those days that we say what's called the incomplete Hallel, for example, Rosh Chodesh, where it's only a minag, lo mevorchinon alei, we don't say a brocha over it. Kinomer perek lulav arava, ein mevorchin al davar shehu minag. The Gemara in Sukkah indicates that we don't say brochas for something that is a custom. Umiu omer Rabbeinu Tam, di'eino raya, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Machzor Vitri's proof, because what the Gemara in Sukkah is talking about is the taking of the Arova on the Sukkis. We are familiar with this practice on the seventh day of Sukkis. We, after finishing the Hoshanas with the Lulav, then we take an Arova branch, and eventually we beat it on the ground. That is a custom. And the Gemara in Sukkah says that the taking, the holding of the Arava is not something that warrants a brocha. And the Machzor Vitri said, well, from that, we see that things that are of a custom nature, one doesn't say a brocha. Rabbeinu Tam disagrees and says that that is no proof regarding our topic of the Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, because there it's a very minor action, we'll say. It's the atiltul vadai lo mevorchinon. On tiltul, on merely handling the arova, that's something that doesn't warrant a bracha. Aval al mitzvah, but on something that we would categorize as a mitzvah, and he's referring to the recitation of the Hallel. After all, you're saying almost a complete Hallel. You're leaving out only two paragraphs, but he calls this a mitzvah. Pshita de mevorchinon. It's certainly something that you would make a brocha on. Dochazinon kol yom tov sheni. We have precedent for this, that every yom tov sheni, which is a reference to the 2 days of yom tov that are observed outside of Eretz Yisrael. There's a first day and then the second day. Now that second day, eino ela minhoga. It's a function of a custom. The Gemara elsewhere calls it minig avusenu biodenu. In other words, even though we know the official calendar dates, and we know that the first day of the holiday that we celebrate, the first day of Pesach, the first day of Shavuos, first day of Sukkot, that's the official holiday. The fact that there's the second, we have the second Seder, or the second night, that's a function of a minig. And umevorchin, and yet we say brochas over that. An entire kiddush is recited, and when it comes to the seder, a second seder is conducted. V'hochi nami mashma demevorchin, and it is likewise apparent that, and it is likewise obvious that we would say brochas on this, on something that is, though it's a minig, but it's a mitzvah. If the let's just go over this last point. Specifically on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh, it's obvious that we do make a bracha. Those are the days that we said she'ein hayochid gomer sahallel. Because if you're not making a bracha on it, my hafsoka shayach bo, why does the Gemara talk at all about a break or an interruption? It's only because it's a unit that starts off with a bracha, and as everyone knows, you're not allowed to interrupt in the middle of a bracha, and the Hallel is something that, in this case, Rabbeinu Tam is arguing would begin with a bracha, and it ends with a bracha, hence you can't interrupt in the middle, or the issue of interruption becomes something to consider. Because if there was no bracha, then the whole issue of interruption wouldn't arise. The Oid Raya de Mevorchinen al Minhaga, another proof that you make a bracha on a minig, Meha derav from a story that Rav Ol Lebe Knishta, and this is a reference to the story we saw above in where Rav entered the shul. That was a feature from Maseches Tainis, and he saw them reading the Hallel, and he thought to stop them. The im lo barchu betchila, if they had not set a bracha at the beginning, then amai lo hirgish Rav dehavi minhoga ad shidolu. Why was Rav unsure or wasn't aware that it was a minig until he saw them skipping the paragraph? Avol bevada elo bevadai barchu. So what do you have to say? Rav was in this shul and he heard them start the challah with a bracha, and he thought, well, what are they doing? It's Rosh Chodesh. It's not a day for challah recitation by letter of the law. And then they got to the point where they got to the Lo Ilanu and skipped it. They skipped that paragraph, and now he saw, I see that what they're doing is merely a minig, and they're not saying the Hallel as if it were letter of the law. They're following a custom, so he didn't bother stopping them. Ubishmil came because of the fact that they had made a bracha at the beginning, lo hirgish ad hadilug. He didn't become aware of it being a minig until the skipping. In other words, it started off as if it were an official Hallel. The im toimar amai lo asik adaite. You might ask, well, if he heard the bracha, so couldn't he have determined from the text of the bracha what they were doing? Why did he have to wait for the skipping? Couldn't he have concluded, im brachu likros oy ligmor? In other words, likros would represent partial hallel, and ligmor represent the lashon of the bracha would be, Baruch Ato Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Ligmor es Hallel, instead of Likro es Hallel. So couldn't he have determined from the text of the bracha what they were doing? V'yesh lomar debekach ein lochush. This would not be conclusive. Shebetoiv yochol levorech ligmor afilu kshu medaleg oy ibcha. Attaching the specific wording to the practice is not binding. In other words, you could switch it around too. In other words, if you're going to say a complete Hallel, you might use the term Likros, and if you're going to do a skipping, you might use the term Ligmor. Umashim Mevorchen Kach Al Hadiluk Likros Shein Goymim Ligmor. That which, generally speaking, this is what we in fact do, is we would say likros for a skipping and ligmor when saying the complete thing, complete hallel. Kedei shelo yitu. That's only so that people shouldn't make a mistake. However, that's the original possibility, though, does exist, as Tosfos said, because you could switch the expressions around. Mishum Hochi lo hoya yocholahovin mitocha brocha. Mishum Hochi is going back to the point that you could switch them around. Let's read that again. Mishum Hochi lo hoya yocholahovin mitocha brocha ad hadilug. And therefore, Rav couldn't determine that it was a minig on their part until the skipping of the paragraph of Lo Ilanu and then of Ohavti Kishma. V'yesh shiroitzin loymar diyochid oymer halel biyomim she'ein gormim she'ein lo levorech. There are those that want to say that a yochid that says halel on the days that a complete halel is not said, that he shouldn't say a bracha. Umiyu hasar mikutzi hoya omer dekevon shirotza lechayev atzmo mevorech the ein ze bracha levatola. The sar mikutzi says that since a person does say it, he takes upon himself to say it, even though it's a minig, but he takes upon himself the recitation as an obligation, he can say the bracha. He does say the bracha, and it's not considered a bracha levatola. Midi dahavi alulav v'atkiyos dahani noshi mevorchos apalgam sheinon mechayvos. Similar to what we see with regard to women who are not obligated in the mitzvah of lulav nor the mitzvah of shofar, and yet they make a bracha. Ubelele psachim yesh shemivorchin pamayim. And Pesach night, when we have the Hallel as part of the Haggadah, Tosfos brings a practice that there were those that made two brachas. Betchila likros, v'achar hasuda, achar shvoich, mivorchin ligmor. At the beginning, when the Hallel is going to eventually be interrupted, so he would begin with the bracha of Likrois, and after the meal, the Seder night meal, after Shvoich Chamoscha El Agoyim is recited, and then the rest of the Hallel is said, they would make a second bracha, Ligmor. Umaisi, Ligmor literally is to finish. Umaisi Rayom Yerushalmi, and they bring a proof from Yerushalmi. He the Maisi Allah, the Chol HaBrachos Poischis, the Choismois VeBoruch. From the teaching, from the rule that all brachos are expected to have an opening and a closing bracha. Chutzmi min HaBrachos Asmuchos LeChaverta, with the exception of those brachos that appear in a series, one following the other, where you'll have a closing bracha without an opening bracha, u'brichas haperos v'mitzvos, and brachas that you make over food and like fruits and mitzvah performance, which have an opening bracha and don't have a closing bracha to them. We say for the eating of fruit, you'd say Baruch Ato Hashem Elokei Lechemom Borei Pri Ha'etz, and that's the opening. There's no closing bracha, but other than brachas mucha lechaverta, those are brachas that appear in a series, like you find in the middle of the Shemona Esrei, where there's each bracha there, atochoinin, doesn't begin with a bracha, it's coming on the heels of Hokeil HaKadosh. And then atochoinin closes with Baruch Ato Hashem Chonein HaDoas, and then you begin Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha without an opening bracha. It's coming on the heels of Chonein HaDoas, and it closes. Those are exceptions to the rule. But otherwise, all brachas shall begin and close with a bracha. So a list of exceptions are mentioned. V'ho ikra ge'ula, but isn't there ge'ula pirush asher go'alnu? This is in the Seder, in the Haggadah recitation. The smucha lechaverta. Now that is a bracha that one would it seems to be that it's smucha lechaverta v'amai posachas v'boruch. Now, if you how would Asher Goalnu be smucha lechaverta? Well, it would be because you had recited a bracha for the Hallel, and this is the proof that we're trying to bring for this practice of saying a bracha on the beginning section of the Hallel and later for the end section. The bracha of Asher Goalnu in the Haggadah, if you have one available, you might want to open it up. It's coming after the after you started the first section of the Hallel. You would eventually, and yet that bracha opens with Asher Goalnu opens with a bracha. And even though it's smucha lechaverta, then the question then would be why amai posachas mevaruch? So the answer to that specific question of why Asher Goalnu opens with a bracha, Shanya, the Yerushalmi answers, the imshama bebeis hakneses yotza, that if he had heard it in the shul, then he already fulfilled his requirement. Very likely a reference to the Hallel recitation that takes place in shul, and there a bracha is recited. So he would have already fulfilled his requirements so that the Asher Go'alnu would be a stand-alone bracha, and hence it has to open up with a bracha. Uporech, the Gemara there asks, Vare Soifa, Pirush Yehalalucha, the Eina Smucha, it's not Samuch Shasuda Mafsekes, because you have the entire meal that interrupts. Then the halucha is the closing bracha of the halal. And it's not somuch because it's coming after the opening bracha, which would have been recited for the beginning of the halal, but there's a major interruption. And even so, why is it that it doesn't open with a bracha? That is that Yehalalucha is a closing bracha for the conclusion of the halal, but there's no opening bracha. Umishani, and the Gemara in Yerushalmi answers, Shtayim Heino, Achas Lahabo, the Achas Lishaavar, Pirush. Well, that phrase is now explained. Achas Lahabo, Zuhi Oisa Brocha, Shemivorchen Achar Achila, Ligmor. Lahabo is that which we recite after the meal. We say a bracha ligmor, ula oisa bracha hi smucha. So that Yehalalucha, it's true that it's not samuch, it doesn't have the standard opening bracha which would have been recited before the meal, but it has an opening bracha, namely this bracha of ligmor. And don't forget, we're trying to bring a basis for the Seder night Hallel recitation having a bracha at the beginning of the second half. And that's what you see over here. The reason that Yehalalucha is not a problem of something that closes with a bracha without an opening bracha, because it does have an opening bracha, namely, Ligmor Es HaHallel. Achas L'Shavar, Hainu Oisa Shebirech Kodem Achila. That's a reference to the bracha of the Hallel that's recited before, the first section, before the meal. Alma de mevorchen shnei pa'amim. You see from this that there were two brachas recited on the halel read during the Haggadah. All of this is the point that we started with on the first wide line of the Tosis at the end. There was a comment made, Ubalelev Sachem Yesh Mevorchem, so that long point began there, and now Tosfos addresses that point. Miu Mashma Bishami Kasher Pirashti Tchila. Show you Mevorchem Shnei Pomim Tchila Vesof. You see from this, we should point out that this is summarizing over there. You see from here, from the Yerushalmi, like was explained, that they made a bracha at the beginning, and at the end. Avol Oimer Rabbi Yehuda, Shezu hi Tema Gedola. Rabbi Yehuda says that this is something that's very wondrous or questionable. Me'achar Shebirech Kodem Achila. If he in fact made a bracha on the halel before, on the first section before the meal, amai mafsik the oichel beintayim, why does he interrupt with a meal in the middle between the two sections of halel? Shere biyomim shein yochid goimer b'enas halel, on those days that you don't say a complete halel, kivan shebirech tchila kamo hocha, once you open up with a bracha like we're describing here, interruption is not allowed unless it's interruption for honor purposes, not for eating a meal. If you were talking about a case that there was no bracha, amai lo yafsik beemsa, if then why shouldn't you be able to interrupt even in the middle? Afilu shelo mipnei hakovid, even if it's for a non-honor purpose, holo hoya mafsik shum bracha, He wouldn't, if he didn't make a bracha, he's not interrupting any bracha then. Therefore, the fact that we have a meal between the two sections of the Hallel, this Rabbi Yehuda is claiming, is a sign that there was no bracha at all recited at the beginning of the first section of the Hallel that we say at the during the Haggadah, just to repeat. Because if there was a bracha at the beginning of the first section of Hallel that we recite as part of the Haggadah, there would be no allowance, there would be no heter for having a meal between the two sections. And he said, because even on days that we don't say a complete Hallel, and we make a bracha at the beginning, there's no heter for interruption other than for COVID purposes. With this in mind, then, we have to go over the Yerushalmi that seemed to indicate that there was a bracha recited at the Seder Hallel. Elanireh, ha de parech by Yerushalmi, the question that the Yerushalmi had mentioned earlier when discussing the rules of brachas having to be open and closed with a bracha, and we ask, well, what about geula? So here, and from that we were the, from that discussion we said, well, geula began with a bracha because sometimes a person was yotze the hallel already in shul, but otherwise there was an opening bracha for the hallel. So what about, how are we to understand the Yerushalmi now? So Tosfos says, ha de parach Yerushalmi hare geula, de mashma de mevorchen oleh atchila, from that we thought that you do make an opening bracha, ayri ba'odam sha'oise haseder bevas achas. That question deals with a person who is conducting an unusual seder. He's doing the seder in one shot. The sha'oz eino mafsik, one shot means without the meal in the middle, but he goes through the entire Haggadah text without the meal, and in, under those circumstances he really is not being mafsik. She'eino tzorech, then in fact there would be, the question would come up, there would be no need for an opening bracha for the geula. So it's under those circumstances that the question of what about Asher Gon, why does it begin with a why does it begin with a bracha? Eino tzorech, it doesn't need because of the bracha from the opening of the Hallel. And there you would have an opening bracha for the Hallel without any fear of interruption, because as it says here, he was doing a seder b'vas achas. Avolanu shemafsikin lechol, but we who do interrupt the Haggadah, or we mafsik the Hallel with a meal, ein lanu levorech klal, lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof. There is no basis for a bracha to be recited, not at the beginning of the first section of the Hallel, nor at the beginning of the second section of the Hallel. And that which it said in the Yerushalmi, v'harei sofa. Once again, we're going over the Yerushalmi that was brought in before as a proof to the brachas and re-understanding it. What about this question? V'harei sofa. You know what? Zehu asher go'alnu. That's not a reference to what we thought before, the bracha of Yahalucha at the end of the Hallel, but rather it's a reference to the Asher Goalnu, the Choisemes Beboruch. Why does it end off? Because that bracha ends off as Bracha to Hashem Goal Yisrael. Why do you need to have that closing bracha in the paragraph of Asher Goalnu? Why does it need a closing bracha? It is an expression of thanks to the Almighty for His redeeming us from Mitzrayim. Kibirkas peros, just like we make a bracha on fruit, which is a singular bracha, Amai Chosemis Baruch. Why does the Goalnu paragraph end with a bracha of Baruch Atah Hashem Goal Yisrael? So that you'll notice here that once again that this question, this is the second or the reinterpretation of the second point of the Yerushalmi of Vahare the Sofa, is referring to a question focused on the Asher Goalnu paragraph in light of the rules of brachas that open and close, but except for Birchas HaPeros. So we see Birchas HaPeros doesn't open and close with us, it's a singular bracha. So too, the Asher Goalnu should be a singular bracha and not have to close with a bracha. Umeshani, Shtayim Heino. The Yerushalmi answers, Shtei Geulos. When it says Shtayim Heino, it means that in that paragraph of Asher Goalnu, there is a reference to two Geulos. Achas lahabo v'achas l'shovar, one in the future and one in the past. Pirush la'osid kemo yagi'enu. What does it mean, the future? The text in that paragraph of Asher Goalnu says yagi'enu, that our hope is that we will come to future times of joy and redemption. V'gamhi aruka k'tzas. It also is a text that has a certain amount of length to it. And as a result of that, it's not like Birkas HaPeros, which is a very short text, and hence only one bracha is necessary. V'gam yesh bo l'sho'ovar. It has in it also past tense, past reference. Kamo asher go'alnu migos Mitzrayim. So, all in all, the paragraph of Asher Goalnu has in it several ideas. It's not a singular idea text. It has a reference to future geulas, future redemption. It has a reference to the past redemption from Mitzrayim. It has an elongated text. All of these factors, v'fika choisemes v'boruch, therefore, it has a closing bracha as well. Uma shehiksha mi'alucha, and that which the Yerushalmi had asked from Yahalalucha, she'eno smucha, here you have a case of a closing bracha, and it's not, and it doesn't have an opening bracha. The Yahalucha is the final paragraph of the Hallel, where it ends off, Melech Mehula Batish Bochois. It has a closing bracha, but it doesn't have an opening bracha. L'fi ma shepirashti ata, according to that which we have explained till now, v'afilu hachi eino posachas b'baruch, so that according to what we've explained now, that as far as the paragraph of Yahalucha, where there is no opening bracha, and yet there is a closing bracha, yesh li tein tam, we have to explain that. L'fi shihi hoido be'alma. It's a paragraph of thanks, of mere thanks, of thanks alone. The afilu shi aruka k'sas, even though it has a slightly long text to it, tiknu bo chasima v'lo psicho, it is set up like that, with a closing and without an opening, kamo elokai neshama, like that paragraph, which many of you may be familiar with from the morning davening, where that paragraph, elokai neshama, ends off Hamachsir Nefoshes Lefkor and Mesim, and it doesn't have an opening bracha to it. That's because you have texts like this that are what Tosis calls Hoido Ba'alma, and therefore it's something that doesn't warrant an opening bracha in addition to the closing bracha. Therefore, it opens up Elokai Neshama, and it closes Baruch Atah Hashem Hamachzir Neshamos Lefgorim Mesim. V'chein Mashma B'Yushalmi She'yodarkin Loimer Halu Beis HaKnesses. And likewise, it appears in Yerushalmi that their practice was to say Hallel in Shul. V'achar Kosheisin Koseh Shalem B'Veisom. beloy shum seder, and then they would drink four cups of wine without an entire Haggadah recitation. Along with those, the boy Yushalmi, asks, Shoson devas achas mahu? You see from there, they ask, what is the din if one drinks the four cups? It says in one shot, Pirush ze achar ze, below halel, the seder beintayim. Mahu, what is the din? So, Shamina Minhoda, we learn from the fact that that question is being raised, the Omar, just to go over this last point, where Tosfos says that from the Yerushalmi, it's mashma that their derech was to say Hallel in the shul, and then they came home and drank the four cups without any seder. And how do we see that? Because in the Yerushalmi, the question was asked concerning drinking the four cups one after the other, and it says there, below Hallel, the seder b'tayim mahu, what do they do? And it seems that the question is, what do they do now that they're at home with regard to the Hallel? So there it answers, Nishma'inen min hoda, we can answer that question, min hoda de omer Rabbi Yochanan, that which Rabbi Yochanan said, Hallel im shoma beis haknesses yotza, that if they heard the Hallel in the shul, then they don't have to recite it again. V'chein mashma b'tosefta, and in the tosefta also it's mashma, the mishelo hoyo yodea v'nichnas beis haknesses v'chulei, that someone who wasn't aware and he went into shul and he heard the what they were doing there. V'hashtana mimushav the b'shvil kach poisachs boros. We now can understand why Asher Guanu opens up with a brocha. Our question originally was, why should it open with a brocha? Isn't it smucha lechaverta? The taimo she'eno smucha, it's really not smucha lechaverta, ki ha, like under these circumstances, the imkora ha beis haknesses yotze. Because if they had said the howl in shul, they were yotze. Therefore, at home, even in the event that they will be saying the Hallel in the Seder, nevertheless, they won't be saying it with a bracha. Hence, when you get to Asher Goanu, you have to open up with a bracha as per the rules of bracha text, that they must open and close with a bracha. So, from all of this, we have seen this last section of Tosfos. What have we seen? We saw a reference to a practice of saying two brachas in the Seder night Hallel that one says at home, and that practice was brought was an attempt to prove that such a practice took place from the Yerushalmi, but Tosfos took issue with that and said that you can understand that Yerushalmi in a different way, and being that that's the case, so there isn't a proof from there that the Hallel that one says in the Haggadah should be one with brachas as well. The next place is Oy Dilma Hano Kobo Ole. When raising the question of tasting food on a tainus that one had accepted upon himself, what restriction did he accept? Was it eating and drinking? And tasting is not eating nor drinking. Or hano, pleasure, and this would fall under the category of pleasure. The Tosfos says, O Dilma hano kobu alei, hai lishna mashma, the language of the Gemara of kobu alei, he accepted upon himself. It sounds, the mairi betainis yochid shekibil alof. We're talking about a private person accepting on himself a vow to fast. Avol betainis hakosuv lo. But we're not talking about a kindness that is legislated by the verses, by psukim. That's what we see from the language of kobil olei. Toem ve'en b'kach klum, Tosfos says, Pirush Rachan. This Tosfos we learned earlier when we were doing the Gemara itself. The ruling of the Gemara was that he can taste and there's no problem. Pirush Rach, shechozer upolet, that that this is assuming that he will then spit out that which he put into his mouth without actually swallowing it. The lo choshiv hano min atima, that type of hano that he gets from the tasting is not considered a significant of any significance. Avol bolea loi, but to swallow that certainly no. Afilu bishar tanios, even other tanios means other than those that we saw in the previous Tosfos, even those that are written in the psukim. Umishim hachi, and because of this, namely that it's not considered a hano, hapolinel sorch brocha sheinonena, one who tastes in that fashion then spits out, he does not have any need to make a brocha either. The Gemara discussed greeting a person in the morning before davening. And we had raised the question, how can you say that it's forbidden when we know that when saying Kriyat Shema, you're allowed to interrupt for greeting someone, even though Kriyat Shema is before the Shmona Esrei? So the Gemara answered that the prohibition of greeting someone before Shmona Esrei, that's if you're going out of your way to his house, as opposed to someone who is already in shul sitting and going about his regular davening and someone comes by. B'mashkim l'pischo, we said that is the problem. V'chein halacha, avo pogo ibakroi, but a chance meeting with someone without your going out of his way to meet him, mutter, it's mutter to greet him even though you haven't davened yet. We continue now on Omid Beis at the top. Loma kodma parshas shma levohoya im shomoya. The question had been raised, why does Parsha Shema come before Vehoya Im Shamoa? The In Tomar, you might want to ask, Tepukle de Kodma Batura. Very simply, you want to know why Shema comes before Vehoya Im Shamoa? Because it comes before it in the Torah. So that, why are you even asking the question of Loma Kodma Parsha Shema? It would seem to be obvious. It comes, Shema comes before Vehoya Im Shamoa, because in the Torah Shema comes before Vehoya Im Shamoa. So the question that Tosfos is alluding to is then, why even ask the question? The Yesh Lomar, the Hochi Ka'omar. The real question is, the underlying question is, Loma Kodmo Af Leparsha Sitzis. When the Gemara asks, or when the Mishnah asks, why does Shema come before Vehoya Im Shamoa? The question really is, why does Shema come as the first Parsha? Namely, even before Parsha Tzitzis, the Kodma Lekulon. Parsha Tzitzis is in Shlach and Sefer Bamidbar. Technically speaking, it's the earliest of the paragraphs. So the question is, why does Shema, which is found later in the Torah, come in the number one position, even before Parsha Tzitzis, which in the Torah is found earlier? Ela vaday ein onu choshishim lozeh she kodemes b'Torah. The fact that something is earlier in the Torah is of no concern to us. We don't take that into consideration. Mishum damrinon ein muktom u'me'uchar, because our approach to the Torah, as far as order is concerned, is that there is no order in the Torah indicating something before and something later. The im kain hoya lanu lahakdim v'hoya shihi medaberes b'loshon rabim. And since we don't take into consideration muktam u'uchar, and as a result of that, we are not concerned whatsoever as to positioning of parshios in the Torah. Therefore, the question of loma kodma parshas shema, the Vehoya Im Shamoa, really is, why should Shema come before Vehoya Im Shamoa when Vehoya Im Shamoa is in a plural Loshon? And being that it's in a plural Loshon, it's a plural language, it should be given precedence. So therefore, this is a serious question of Loma Kodma Parshas Shema Vehoya Im Shamoa, when Vehoya Im Shamoa is written Beloshon Rabim. Now, to that, we give the answer that we gave. You have in the Mishnah, because the logic of Bikabal Olach HaShemayim, the four mitzvahs, is an overriding point, or we saw also, because the Shema has in it three characteristics, opposed to Bo Yisrael, it has only two characteristics, as we saw in the Gemara. The Tosfos, Dibra Maschil, Vayomer, Eino, Noheges, Ela Vayom. This was the reason for the third paragraph of Kriya Shema being after Vayom Shemoa, because Vayom Shemoa has the topic of mitzvahs, which include day and night, where Parsha Tzitzis features the Tzitzis, which is something that is binding only by day. And hence, it should be in the third position. Mikan mashma kurbi shimin diomer perakatchilas the tzitzis mitzvah se shazman groma. From the fact that our Gemara describes Parsha Tzitzis as being binding only by day, so it's something that's time bound, and as such, tzitzis would be categorized as a mitzvah se, a positive command, shazman groma, that's time caused or time bound, and as a result of that, women would be exempt from the mitzvah, as we learn in Maseches Kedushin that mitzvahs asei shehazman groma are women are exempt from them. V'chein isa b'kedushin, and likewise you find in Maseches Kedushin gomar tzitzis mitzvah asei shehazman groma, where the Gemara says that straight out. V'im tomar im kain l'man d'omar tzitzis chovas talis hu. There is an opinion in Maseches Menachos that says that the tzitzis are something that is garment bound. In other words, the focus is not the human being, the person, but rather a four-cornered garment must have tzitzis on it. Vafilu munachas bekufsa, even if the garment is in a box, is in storage. Afilu hachi chayevis betzitzis. Nevertheless, it is obligated to have tzitzis on it. Well, if that's the case, you're dealing with a mitzvah according to the daya that it's chovas talis. It's a mitzvah that would apply around the clock. We're saying if it's a four-cornered garment and it's lying in a box, it's got to have tzitzis on it. So hechi ashkan shei azman groma. How, according to this opinion, would mitzvah tzitzis be considered a mitzvah sei shazman groma? Where do we see a manifestation of it being time-bound or time-limited? Where's the limitation? V'yesh loimar. There's an answer. The im hoya ksus am yuchad l'layla. If you have a four-cornered garment, that is, we'll call it a pajama. In other words, something that's reserved for night wearing alone, then potter, it would be exempt, so that even though we're classifying mitzvahs as a chovas talis, as a chova, an obligation that's on the garment, nevertheless, there are garments that, because their time is only at night, they would be exempt. So there you have mitzvahs shazman groma, even though you're dealing with chovas talis. V'hachi isa b'yushalmi dekedushin. Amar lehem Reb Shimon, I atem moidin li, the tzitzis mitzvah se shazman groma. Rabbi, from the Yushalmi, you see that from Reb Shimon's comment that even according to the Man d'Omar, that tzitzis are chovas talis, it still is categorized as mitzvah se shazman groma, shrei ksus laila, potem min tzitzis. Reb Shimon shows you from the fact that it's a pajama or a nighttime garment, that it is exempt from tzitzis, that tzitzis is mitzvah se shazman groma. Amar Rabbi Ila, taima d'rabbanan, shimhoya miyuchad liyom v'layla, shechayav b'tzitzis. If you're dealing with a garment that one wears by day and by night, so then it's chayav in tzitzis. Umonach tfilin umatzli. This Tosfos is coming from the Gemara, where we saw Rav's practice toward the end of the narrow lines of Gemara. Rav woke up in the morning, washed his hands, said Kriya Shema, put on the tefillin, and then davened. So we see him putting on the tefillin between Kriya Shema and the Shmona Esrei. So Tosfos says, "Umehosa mashma shemutur lehoniach tefillin bein geula l'tfila." That it's, one is allowed to put on the tefillin, and we're going to add here, put on the tefillin with a brocha, making a brocha on the tefillin, even though you're in this, we'll call, crucial a timing or position between Geula, between the end of Kriya Shema and the Bracha of Goal Yisrael, and Shmoyne Esrei. V'chein betalis, miniach adam taliso, bein Geula l'tfila. Later in the Tosfos, we have a little arrow here, which will correspond to an arrow found quite a bit later in this Tosfos, where Tosfos will try to reject this and say, and says there, ein raya, because the motzi lemeimar hiniach tefillin below bracha. There, you could say that he put on the tefillin without making a bracha. So from here, at this point in the Tosfos, he wants to bring evidence or proof that you could put on the tefillin with a bracha between geula and tefila, even though you're dealing with what we would call smichas geula tefillas. We've learned in previous sugyas where we want to have the two right next to each other, ostensibly without any interruption. And here, from this Gemara, Tosfos, the opening of Tosfos, feels that you see from here that the fact that he put the tefillin on between the Kriya Shema and the Shemoneh Esrei, that can be done. V'chein motzinu sh'Rebbi Yitzchok Rebbi Yehuda sholach achar taliso. We find an incident where Rebbi Yitzchok sought his talis, v'shoa shliach, and the shliach tarried, ukvar koro Kriya Shema v'seo, and he had already, Rebbi Yitzchok in the meantime had already said the Kriya Shema with the brachas, v'nis'atef b'taliso v'gomar Shemoneh Esrei. He then put on his talis and then finished the Shemoneh Esrei. V'hevi raya mehacha Mehahi the Rav. And his behavior for putting on the talis between the Kriya Shema and the Shemoneh Esrei was based on Rav's putting on the tefillin between Kriya Shema and the Shemoneh Esrei. Mikol mokom yesh lechalek bein tefillin letalis. Nevertheless, there is room for making a distinction between the case of Rav Yitzchok Rav Yehuda and his talis and Rav's din of the and Rav's practice with the tefillin. And what's the point of difference? In other words, the fact that Rav put on the tefillin, I can't conclude that you can put on a talis with a bracha between Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. The Iker Kriya Shema utfila shaychi betfillin. Tefillin is much more related to the basic Kriya Shema and Shemoneh Esrei. Kedama b'somoch, as the Gemara says later on this Amid, kilu meyed edu sheker be'atzmo, one who would say the Kriya Shema without tefillin on is as if he is saying false testimony, pirush ba'adon, and here, like we saw in Rashi, the meyed edu sheker be'atzmo, that word be'atzmo is a euphemism, and hence it's really a reference to the Almighty. So he's saying false testimony concerning the Almighty, shetziva shu korei, v'hoyu l'toitofois ula'ois al yodecha v'yein. The Almighty commanded, have tefillin on your arm and on your head, and lo and behold, you're doing it, you're doing the Kriya Shema without it. Utfilo nami, tefilo also, we're saying, is associated, integrally associated with wearing of the tefillin. Kedo amoron, as we say, kori Kriya Shema spalel, that's Kori Kriya Shema Mispalo with the tefillin. Zuhi Malchus Shomayim. The Gemara points, this quote is from the bottom line of our Gemara, where Rabbi Yochanan says, one who wants a Mekabel of Malchus Shomayim Shlema, and at the top of Tesvav it says, Yifaneh, Vito Yoda Vinech Tefillin, Viku Kriya Shema Vispalel. So you see the tefillin is part of the Kriya Shema and the tefillin in order to fulfill a true acceptance of Oil Malchus Shomayim. Avot Tzitzis She'en Oil Chayvas Talis, but the issue of Tzitzis, which is according to certainly one approach in Menachos, which is a chova, an obligation on the garment, Shim Yeshlo Talis Chayav, Vim Ein Lo Potter. We actually don't have to restrict this to the deos in Maseches Menachos, but tzitzis is a garment-related mitzvah. Even if you say it's a mitzvah on the person while he's wearing it, but nevertheless, it focuses on the garment that he's wearing, and if he doesn't have a four-cornered garment, he's not obligated in tzitzis whatsoever by letter of the law. and there would be no problem with the recitation of Kriyat Shema without tzitzis. If he's not wearing a four-cornered garment, so there's no problem with saying Kriyat Shema without tzitzis. Vadai havi hafsoka, the havi hafsoka, the practice that Rabbi Yitzchok Rabbi Yehuda did, according to this point in Tosis, would have been a break or an interruption, because it's not an integral part of the Kriyat Shema and the Tefillah, as opposed to Tefillin, which is an integral part of Kriyat Shema and Tefillah. It would not be considered an interruption. The Harav Rav Moshe Mikutzi Hoya Oimer Dafilu Mikan Ein Raya, that even from this there is no proof. In other words, we tried to bring a proof from Rav, who put on tefillin between Kriyat Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, that you could put them on with a bracha. So the Rav Moshe Mikutzi says there is no proof to that. The Motzi Lameimar, Hiniach Tefillin Beloi Bracha. He put on the tefillin between the Shemoneh Esrei, between the Kriyat Shema and the Shemoneh Esrei, without a bracha. Lachar Shemoneh Esrei Mashmesh Bahem. After he finished the Shemoneh Esrei, when there's no longer any concern about interruptions, he then manipulated Mimashi, she felt or moved around the repositioned the tefillin, and through that Umevorech Aleihem, and at that also is a means of a symbolic putting on of the tefillin, and hence you could make a bracha at that point. Ubahochi Sagi, and that would be enough. In other words, putting on the tefillin without a bracha between Kriyat Shema Shemoneh Esrei, so as to avoid any issue of hefsek. And as far as what about making the bracha on it, so make a bracha and then maneuver Mimashmesh Bohem, and that's enough. Shigam mutter l'sati b'talis be'es shiod of mitunafos. We know that a person can put on a talis while he has filthy hands. Ve'achar shiito yodav, after he washes his hands, yamashmesh b'talis. So then he maneuvers the talis umavorech and says a bracha at that point. So what have we seen here? On the one hand, the beginning of Tosis try to bring proof from Rav that you can make a bracha on tefillin between Kriyat Shema Shemoneh Esrei. Then Tosis went on to bring, he brought Rabbi Yitzchok Rabbi Yehuda, said we can extend this even to the putting on of a talis between Shemoneh Esrei and the Shema. Tosis then said, look, you can't compare tefillin to, or talis to tefillin. And then at the end of Tosis, the whole issue of putting on tefillin with a bracha at that crucial point is also rejected, because you could explain that one should put on the tefillin and a talis as well between the Shema and the Shemoneh Esrei without a bracha. Then after he finished Shemoneh Esrei, manipulate them, maneuver them, and at that point say a bracha on the tefillin, and if you're dealing with a talis, say it on the talis. We saw in a Tanaic source brought in the Gemara that a person who's involved with the digging of a grave is exempt from all mitzvahs and exempt from Kriyat Shema. Interesting to note is that Kriyat Shema is treated separately from the rest of the mitzvahs, but is it not so that Kriyat Shema is an example of one of the mitzvahs? So why was it highlighted as a separate point in this source? That's what Tosfos asks. So the Tosfos says, "When we call mitzvahs amos b'torah, in addition to Kriyat Shema, b'im tomar, v'chi Kriyat Shema lo havei b'chal mitzvahs amos b'torah, is Kriyat Shema not included in the mitzvahs that the Torah says?" So why, in the source, were we describing the person who is digging the grave is exempt from Kriyat Shema, and in addition to that, he's exempt from all other mitzvahs? Just say he's exempt from mitzvahs, and that will include Kriyat Shema. The Yesh Lomar, we can answer the E Lo Toni Be'edya Kriyat Shema, if the source hadn't specified Kriyat Shema and his exemption from it. Havi Amino, I would have thought the Dafka Hani the Lesbu Kviyasman, other mitzvahs that aren't time related, time fixed, that those are the things he's exempt from. Avol Kriyat Shema the Kviyasman, but Kriyat Shema that if you don't do it now, you're going to lose out because it has a fixed time. Hoyuzman Over, since the time is passing, I would have thought that even though he's involved with digging the grave, he should break for the Kriyat Shema and go back to digging the grave afterwards. Komash Malon, the source tells us, even for something like that, like Kriyat Shema, that has a fixed time and the time will pass, he nevertheless is exempt. because he's involved with digging the grave. And as we said, when said in our Gemara, Shiur, Ha'oisek b'mitzvah, poter min ha-mitzvah, one who's involved with a mitzvah. And that's a point, of course, we should give credit to Rashi. Rashi explained that on the in the middle of the Omer, Dibur Masel, poter mi kriya shma. One who's involved with a mitzvah is exempt from other mitzvahs. In fact, something we've learned earlier in this, earlier in this Masechta. The next Tosfos, Oila Belo Mincha, one who, in our Gemara, we describe one who says Kriya Shema without tefillin, it's as if he is offering a sacrifice with lacking its additional parts, the Mincha and the Sochim. So the Tosfos, Oila Belo Mincha, Huadin, the Motzi Lemeimar, the Gemara could have said an Oila Belo Nesochim. That with saying Krishna without tefillin is like offering an ola without nisach, which is the wine offering that accompanies a sacrifice. The Gemara said it's like offering an ola without the meal offering that accompanies an ola, but it could have said like offering an ola without the wine that accompanies the ola. Shrei ola nami tuna nisachim. We know that a korban ola has a wine requirement as well. So then why does the Gemara say ola velo mincha? Elalishna de Kronokat. The Gemara was using using biblical license, where the Torah says Oila umincha zevach unesachim. So that in the Torah treatment of this matter, the Ola is linked with the Mincha. But we're emphasizing, Tosis is emphasizing, that is not exclusive, but rather an Ola has, in addition to a Mincha, a Nesachim, a wine offering, is brought with it. We continue to the top of Tes Vav Omer Aleph, because Tosfos there deals with a point of Gemara that we learned as part of our Shiur today. This was with reference to Rav Chisda's ridicule of someone who sought out, who was Mahader Amaya Biden Sloisa. So we saw that Rashi's treatment of the Gemara dealt with someone who sought out water for the recitation of Kriya Shema, and Rav Chisda ridiculed that. But for Tefillah, one was expected to seek out water. Now, as we said, that's Rashi's approach. We now look at Tosfos, Aman Demahader Amaya Bidon Kriya Shema, V'yesh Svarim Degarsi. There are texts that have Hani Mili the Kriya Shema, Avo Litvila Loi. Now, in our Gemara, we have a qualification that is just like that, where it says Hani Mili the Kriya Shema, Avo Litvila. A slight correction here. Our text in the Gemara is Avo Litvila Mahaver. But there are svarim that say that Hani Mili Krishma Vol Tfila Loi, but not for Tfila, not for Shmon Esrei. The Gemara of Shimon Ben Lakish, the Gavil Tfila Dalid Milin. Oh, let us say once again that when we spoke about Rav Chisda being ridiculing, he was ridiculing when one would seek out for Kriyashma, but for Tfila he wouldn't ridicule. And why not? Because Rav Shimon Lakish says legabel tefila dalid milin. Without getting into details, legabel has to do with the kneading of dough in a state of tara, and tefila is Shmon Esrei for meal. One is required to seek out. Venira delo garcino lei. But Tosfos says I don't like that girsa, which made a distinction between Kriya Shema and tefila. The Wadin, the Indian slow tsunami. The same thing should apply to Shmon Esrei as well. In other words, Rav Chisda ridiculed one who sought out water for Kriya Shema. He would likewise ridicule one who sought out water for Shmon Esrei. Why? Because of the same logic. Mitam shelo yavor zman tefila, because of our concern that the time set aside for Shmon Esrei will pass. Shmon Esrei is something that is also time bound. The Maishno Kriya Shema Mitfila, what's the difference? Just like Kriya Shema has hours that are assigned for it, so too tefillah has assigned hours beyond which you cannot say the Shmoneh Esrei. V'gam yesh l'kamon perek mishameso, and also later in the Masichta, in the third perek, it says, but lua l'netilusa, they canceled the washing of hands, k'derav chizda, based on Rav Chisda's teaching, delayet amad madar amaya b'idam svosa. Rav Chisda's ridiculing or cursing of he who seeks out water during the time that one could daven. Umidalo hiskisham kriyashma. There, in the third parak, there's no reference to kriyashma specifically. Mashma de becholinyan mutter. It would imply that under all circumstances, not only kriyashma, but for tefillah as well, one can daven without the washing of the hands. Vahid Reb Shimon ben Lakish, Domer l'tefillah dalid milin. What about Reb Shimon ben Lakish's teaching that says that for tefillah, for meal? What are you traveling for meal, the distance of for meal with regard to tefillah? Pirush Rashi, lehispalel shom v'minyan. Rashi explains that comment of Reb Shimon ben Lakish in Psachim as seeking out a minyan of 10 people for Shmon Esrei, but not for seeking out water. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.